Podcast Report, episode number 16. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Podcast Report. Cliff Ravenscraft here from PodcastAnswerMan.com and your host for the Podcast Report, the podcast devoted to the podcasting track of New Media Expo. And, of course, I am very happy once again to be joined by my wonderful co-host and certainly lives up to the title of great guest getter, Megan Enloe. Megan, welcome back.
Thank you, Cliff. Hey, how are you doing today?
I have never been better. It gets better every single day. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I had a fantastic Thanksgiving. It was delicious.
Well,
I worked hard making that meal, but man, did we enjoy it. Still are. How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was wonderful. Except for the fact that I did forget that it was Thanksgiving week because I didn't go out of town with the family. And as a result of that, I did block out Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. But for some reason, I continued to fill my schedule Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday without even thinking about the fact that my kids were off school and this is supposed to be a family week. And so I...
Yes, I heard you for about 25 minutes rambling on about why am I sitting here podcasting? And yet you continued to sit there and podcast. So as much as I am a junkie in listening, you are a junkie in podcasting.
Yes, I am. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad that Thanksgiving is behind us. Christmas is only 4 weeks away.
It is.
And that just means that New Media Expo is even that much closer. I am so excited today that we are bringing two people on. Later in this episode, we're going to have another great panelist that has actually put together a great panel for the podcasting track. Renee Chambliss is going to be joining us in a little bit. But first, we have the co-founder and CEO of New Media Expo, Rick Calvert, on the line. Hey, Rick, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Cliff and Megan.
So, Megan, we have had a blast putting together a New Media Expo. But I'll tell you what, people need to know just how much support we are getting from Rick and the conference staff. And Megan, I know that you probably want to say thank you to Rick just for just how much of a free reign that we get over here.
Oh, you know what? This job has been, it's amazing how hands off. I mean, I get the orders to just make it awesome, and that's all I get. You know, it's not you need to do this, you need to do that. It's just make it awesome, and we're doing everything we can to make it awesome. I love that the trust and support that we get from the NMX staff.
Yeah, you guys are awesome, Rick. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you guys, and Megan, how far have we come from when you and I first talked?
Oh, goodness. We have talked so many times, and that is why I have faith in this conference, because of the number of hours. And, you know, every year, two, three times a year, I'd get a call from you asking, how can we make this better for podcasters? How can we make this an amazing conference for podcasters? And, you know, you were reaching out to me when I was one of the naysayers, and you kept working on me and kept working on me, and you know, now that's why you have me on board, because you did not give up when I was a naysayer. And so that's why you've got me on board, and I'm 100% on board.
I am stubborn, and you have no idea how thrilled we are. You know, it began with Cliff, and Cliff, you know, I mentioned this to you, and I know we're having a little love fest here, but I think it's important for people to know that when you came on board, I told you I was so excited. And, you know, it took us years to, I guess, figure out who the right person is to be the director of podcasting for New Media Expo, who could really represent the community and help the community develop a program that they want, that they need, and they would really enjoy and get a lot out of it. And the moment that you said yes to me, I knew you were the right guy. And then we did the first show, and it was so overwhelmingly positive compared to, you know, how it had been in the past. And the same thing when Megan came on board as community director for podcasting. We just feel like, you know, we have the right people in place now, and You know, this is going to be our best show ever overall, and it's certainly going to be our best podcasting event we've ever had.
Yeah, I tell you what, you're absolutely right. It is a love fest. We'll move beyond it.
But, let's move on.
But I just want to say this is the dream team, because I tell you, I'm thrilled to come on board with all the things that you've asked me to do. But man, even with NYC, huge success, but still there are so many things that I wish that could be done, that there's just no way I personally had the time to do. And Megan filled in that gap. And now, look out, world, here we come. Here we come, Vegas. And in fact, one of the cool things I want to bring out, we've already announced it here in the podcast report. Everybody else has seen it on a blog post. Everybody saw Twitter links and Facebook and everything else to it. But I want to hear from you, Rick. And you and I have had these conversations, but I want people to hear from you. One event per year. Tell us how this came about.
Well, there, and I know, Cliff, you were one of the people who wanted it to be one event per year for a while. Todd Cochran is another one who's been a vocal proponent of that. It was really a combination of things. We started the New York show because we knew there were people on the East Coast who'd never been to a New Media Expo before, and many we were so surprised who'd never even heard of a New Media Expo before. And so I do think it was the right thing to do at the time. But as you said, and as Todd said, and others, so many people just want to have one place, one time a year, to know when they go there, everybody's going to be there. Because a lot of people just can't afford to go to two events a year. And then at the same time, you know, New Media Expo, we acquired another show called Travel Blog Exchange this year. And we did that show 10 days after the New York show. And we've now done another show in Spain since then. And there are other things that we're working on. And we just thought, you know, there's so many people who want to have one show a year, who want it to be in Vegas. The timing with the Web TV Awards, which I think is closely related to podcasting, with that overlap, being able to do the podcast awards at the show, that timing in January, there's just so many things that made it the right decision to have just one big show that everybody can support and come to and see all their friends and meet all their peers and network together.
Now, is the timing with, you know, with the podcast awards and everything, is it going to continue to be in January?
Well, I can tell you, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, I loathe having the show in January because I really enjoy spending time with my family and friends over the holidays. But this is the first year that we'll be hosting the podcasting awards in a big way at the show, and then having the Web TV Awards happen the last day of the show. And I honestly just don't know what's going to happen with those two things and if the show will stay in January. And the fact that it's co-located with CES, there's huge overlap by just thousands of bloggers and podcasters between those two things as well. So that timing is pretty hard to ignore. We do have space contracted again for January next year, but I know other people have complained. And you know, this is one of those lessons you have to learn. You can't make everybody happy all the time. But some people don't like it being in January, for the same reasons I don't. It's just so close to the holidays but there's just so many reasons that say it needs to be in January right now. So for the future, I'm going to leave myself in wiggle room, but for now, yes, it's going to stay in January. It's going to be one show a year.
Well, if I'm going to be in the desert, I would go with January rather than July. Just saying.
That's true.
It's like 114 out there.
And I represent one of those thousands of people where CES is definitely a draw that adds to my desire to go. And I'm just thrilled. And not to mention the fact that as somebody who runs a business and benefits from the networking that happens at going to these events, there's nothing better than starting the year off brand new, fresh, networking and meeting with, making new relationships with people that will potentially set the tone for the rest of the entire year, especially for me in 2013. I'm thrilled. And, you know, I must say that as the podcasting director, I it's kind of nice that I only have to put one of these events together each year for the podcasting track. But no, I'm thrilled. I absolutely love it. So, Rick, another question I want to ask you is, you know, we talked about the fact that we're seeing some things going on here, but what have you noticed with the podcasting community and how they're reacting? We talked about the fact that, you know, NYC was a huge success, and I'm seeing a lot of buzz built up around it. There, we've talked about the fact that the podcast awards are now, you know, Todd Cochran has decided to bring that to New Media Expo. You and I haven't had a chance to talk one-on-one in the last couple of weeks because of the holidays. I want to hear what are some of the things that you're hearing in the podcasting community and how they're responding to this new focus in this area.
The biggest thing that I'm hearing, honestly, is excitement. People are excited. They feel like this is the show for them. They have a place to go that represents them, that includes them, that develops content for them and experiences for them. So, I mean, that's really just the short and simple of it. And again, a lot of that is building off of New York for the people who were there, who saw what we did and saw the changes that we made and the changes that you made, Cliff, when you came on board. And now Megan, you know, being actively involved in the community every day, which she already was before she came to work with us, is just another sign of that commitment for us to the podcasting community, which, by the way, you know, when we started this event, I always said there were three, you know, core elements to this event: blogging, podcasting, and web TV. And I think you are starting to see a new renaissance for podcasting, and certainly for web TV. And it will be a larger and larger part of our event because it will be a larger and larger part of the industry of new media for years to come. There's no doubt it's going to continue to grow exponentially for the foreseeable future.
Yeah,
I'm definitely seeing that too. I'm seeing those three separate categories constantly intermixing with each other, and I'm seeing these networks of the podcasters that are also doing video, and then they're collecting other like podcasters into a network. And you're right, it is a renaissance, and it is definitely growing.
Well, Cliff, this is really important because you told me a while ago, if you do everything, you create video, you write blogs, and you podcast. But if somebody pinned you down and asks you what are you, you'd say I'm a podcaster. And you know, your whole mission in life is being a podcaster and promoting podcasting and you know, bringing podcasting to the world. And I know Megan is on board with that mission as well. The reason I think, blogging took a forefront at the beginning is because the technology is easier and people figured out a model on how to monetize blogging sooner than podcast. There have been successful podcasters for years now, but every day it gets easier and easier for podcasters to be successful.
It does. And the fact that so many podcasts this year, just in 2012 alone, that launched, just a couple notable ones, two of the big ones off the top of my head are Michael Hyatt's This Is Your Life podcast. Michael Hyatt is what we would consider certainly an A-list blogger. With over, I think, 260,000 subscribers and followers to his brand. And when he added a podcast, immediately that exposed that entire audience to his weekly programming of a podcast. And of course, as you can imagine, after, 20, 30, 40 episodes from Michael Hyatt, he's all of a sudden got a lot of people thinking, with his book, The Platform, and building a platform, he's like, maybe I should consider a podcast when I think about my brand. So that's helped. And of course, another big podcast that started was a social media marketing podcast with Michael Stelzner. And of course, Social Media Examiner has a huge, massive following as well. And by the way, these are just two. I'm privy to a couple, probably about 15 people who have 100,000 or more followers that have successful podcasts today as a result of just getting launched this year. And
well, let's not forget Nerdist Industries. They've got a whole YouTube channel as well as the podcast and multiple podcasts within that. And then Felicia Day, she's got a whole empire happening where she's bringing in other, you know, other celebrities and doing all kinds of fantastic work over there.
And the iOS application for podcasting, while it was a total joke when it was first announced, I am actually now completely converted over to the Apple Podcasts app for iOS. And I must say, it's pretty sweet now. And the fact that there will be more, by 2015, there will be 1 billion iOS devices in play by 2015. 1 billion. And iOS 6, if you go to the App Store to download any app, the first thing that you're hit with, we highly recommend you download these official iOS applications from Apple, and one of them is podcasts, and that's huge.
By the way, I'm so glad you mentioned Nerdist, Megan, and another two I'll mention are Adam Carolla and Kevin Smith, who've been around for a while, but I've noticed just recently both of them getting much more publicity, and now Kevin with his, you know, comic book men now being a TV show. And you look also again at Chris Hardwick with Nerdist. I don't know if either of you are Walking Dead fans. I'm a huge fan, and I watched the Talking Dead show afterwards with Chris. He's a bigger and bigger star every day.
Yeah.
And I'll let another little cat out of the bag right now that I didn't tell either one of you about yet, or I didn't tell you that I was going to say on the podcast today. but we've been chasing Chris to get him to come speak at the show for about 3 months now.
Yes, I'm squeeing, really. Yes.
I'm sorry, Megan, to disappoint you now, but no, we haven't confirmed Chris yet.
Oh, darn.
But we want to, and I'm saying it now publicly, so anybody listening to this podcast, if you know Chris, if you follow Chris, tell him, please come speak at New Media Expo in January. We want you there so bad, and I know that our audience wants him there badly.
I want him there badly. I was on the verge of a squee, and
I know.
It just devastated me.
As I said before, I'm stubborn and I'm resourceful, and you know, this is one of our platforms, Cliff, and you know, maybe this can be the thing to tip it over the edge. He's a really busy guy, but. You know, I just can't imagine, you know, not having Chris there. So,
Chris, we want you. Please come. Please come.
Please.
And Rick will make it worth your time. Come on.
Absolutely. I promise that you will love this experience.
Yes.
So anyway.
Yeah. And I happen to know somebody else who really wants him there as well.
Yeah, and I'm holding that back too. So.
I know.
What are you guys not telling me?
We'll tell you later. just guys, come to New Media Expo in January. It's going to be an awesome time. We're having so much fun. Rick, is there anything else you want to share with us before we move on to our interview with Renee?
I know we're running over time. I'll just mention real quickly the podcasting pavilion. I know that's one of the things we wanted to talk about today. This is an area in the show specifically for podcasters. Megan is the one leading the charge. We will be doing a live podcast there at the show with some huge names in podcasting, and we'll start releasing those soon. But this is where you can find companies that have supplies for podcasters, where live podcasting will be going on, and just a place within the show where podcasters know they can congregate, because it's a big show and there's a lot of stuff going on there. But at any point, if you find yourself at the podcast pavilion, you are going to find other podcasters. And that's really what it's for.
Excellent. And of course,
that's where the podcasting community can gather and find each other. And, you know, it's a great chance to interview. There's all these wealth of knowledge that's going to be there at this show. And it's a fantastic chance to interview other people or do your own show. I'm open to anything. As far as Podcast Pavilion, I want to see lots of podcasters doing lots of podcasting.
Excellent. Well, Rick, thank you so much. We're going to turn things over to our other guest of honor today. But Rick, thank you so much for taking the time to come and share with us a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes.
Thanks, guys. Always glad to be here.
All right. Well, do you want to go ahead, Megan, and introduce Renee to us?
I sure will. Our guest today has loved stories all her life, and she's been reading and writing fiction nonstop since elementary school. Her influences run from Diana Gabaldon to John Irving to Barbara Kingsolver to one of my favorites, J.R.R. Tolkien. She was first published at the tender age of 10 years old and won the Authors Content Contest in Jack and Jill magazine. She took a 20-year hiatus from fiction because, like myself, kids and life happens, but fiction kept calling to her. Instead of napping like I did when my kids were napping, she took to writing. She did not intend to write a novel, but got lost in the story, and Dreaming of Deliverance was the result. In 2009, she joined the forces of podcasting, which led her to other writers calling for her voice to give life to their characters. I bring you and welcome Renee Chambliss.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Doing great. Doing great. How are you today?
I'm fine. Kind of gray and cold and rainy here, but
you know, it is here in Southern California. We rarely have gray, cold, rainy days, but this is one of them.
You know, that's crazy. It's normally 20 degrees here in Northern Kentucky, and it's about 50 degrees and nice and sunny and gorgeous blue skies outside. And by the way, I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt today.
Nice. Well, Renee, I love the rain, so I'm not bothered by it.
Renee, we're so delighted to have you on. And even more than just having you on and coming to the expo, we're delighted that at the very last minute, you came and filled a very important void in the podcasting track. We were desperately looking to add one more session that would appeal to the fiction podcast community. And so you had come along at the perfect time, and you are actually putting together a panel for the podcasting track. Can you tell us a little bit, first, I guess, what the panel is and kind of the takeaways that people will get if they come to it?
Sure. I wanted to talk about narrating podcast fiction because I get a lot of comments on my voice. Oh, you have such a great voice, which always surprises me whenever anyone says that, because I've never really liked my voice very much. You know, I sound young. I've always sounded really young and not sort of serious and like, you know, someone that I thought people would want to listen to. So I really believe that the voice is not the most important element in podcasting fiction, and it's conveying the tone and emotion of the writing through your reading. And so I really wanted to do a panel about that. And so that's what it's called. It's called, taking the tone of podcast fiction, the importance of that. And we're going to talk about sort of how you can convey a story through your reading, because it's not just simply reading, you know, monotone. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to bring the story to life.
So when basically the so there's so much more to the art of narration than just the actual voice. What kind of things are you going to be talking about, like specific things that people will get if they come to your session? Like for me, I'm thinking, okay, I'm not a fiction author or anything like that. Is this something that I would particularly come and be able to walk away with something valuable to me?
Sure. I mean, I think a lot of people who want to get involved in podcast fiction in helping to produce it are people who enjoy fiction and podcasts. And so anyone who enjoys fiction and podcasts could get something out of it, because the great thing about the way things are today is most of us have the technology at home that we can use to participate in fiction podcasts. So we're going to talk about preparing, you know, before you get started. There's a lot you can do to make the actual recording process itself go smoothly, things to do while you're recording, and things to do after you've finished to put together, you know, a great story.
We've talked about this a little bit in the past on other episodes. There is always a storytelling component to good marketing for any business outside of the realm of fiction. Any business that's there, anyone who is trying to tell a story for their cause, their business, their livelihood, there's always that storytelling aspect is always important. Will your session lend anything to people who are looking to tell their own stories, whether they be fiction or not?
Oh, sure. It definitely could. I mean, I think it's true with writing, you know, being both a writer and a fiction narrator, it's kind of, the parallels are really interesting and there's a lot that they have in common. You know, through our words, we are trying to communicate and we use written words or spoken words to get that message across. So how you use those words really affects the impact that the words have.
Excellent. Excellent. So somebody who's maybe there for their business or for their cause would definitely enjoy your session and learn from your session.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's going to be fun too.
So Renee, you said that you had started out as an author. Was it weird for you at first to get behind a microphone and start voicing your characters? Or is that something that you had some other experience with before?
Well, I don't know that I've really had a lot of experience, but I've always had a love of reading aloud. I was one of those annoying kids in school who wanted to be called on to read in class. I just have always loved it. You know, my kids, I've been reading to them since they were teeny tiny. I just find it a lot of fun. So that part of it, the actual reading of the story and giving voices to characters, that wasn't strange for me. The technology part of it was, and I have had to, you know, teach myself how to use a microphone, how to use audio editing software, you know, uploading things, you know, things about minimizing mouth noises, you know, just all this stuff that I had no idea about before. So that part I did need to learn, but the actual doing the readings has always felt very natural to me.
Well, you brought
this, this is what I... You know what? I just have to step in here because, Cliff, this is why I love that you are bringing our guests, bringing the speakers to NMX, because you are finding people like Renee. When it comes down to it, it's the people who are so passionate and in love with what they're doing. And I heard it in her words that she just loves to tell stories out loud. She loves, yes, she has this love for it, this passion for it. And I think it's awesome that you've found people like Renee, and that's the difference. That's what NMX needed, is the people who are so in love with what they do that it really shows when they talk about it.
I totally agree, because people ask me all the time, what makes a podcast successful? And I really believe it's when people have a message inside that they can't imagine not getting out into the world. And for some people, speaking into a microphone is the best way to get that message out there. I want to go to something that you said, Renee, that I definitely don't want to pass up the opportunity to ask you now that you've brought it up. As a podcast consultant, I actually have a lot of people who get behind a microphone and they, you know, they have the big breaths in and,
yeah,
they, and they have them.
You right. Know, don't do that, Cliff. Do not do that.
How?
Stop that.
Well, you know, and for me, I realized that I have kind of trained myself to change the way that I breathe, and I am using a special gate that cuts out certain frequency or certain volume levels below my voice and stuff like that. So I would love to know, what did you find that you needed to do to reduce mouth noises?
I think the most important thing for mouth noises is to be hydrated. If you're thirsty or a little bit dehydrated, it makes your mouth kind of sticky. And so then those noises, just as you're talking and your lips are moving over your gums, they just become very obvious. So staying hydrated is really important. I usually brush my teeth right before I record, just because having clean teeth seems to help. Then there's the apple slices. I don't know if you've heard of that one before, but that makes a difference. Also, there's supposed to be something in the skin, like pectin, that's supposed to help. I think just having a little bit of sour kind of brings more saliva into your mouth, and so that helps minimizing them also. And just being aware of it, really, because mm-hmm. you're not at first. But once you start hearing them, they're all you hear. So even as I'm reading, if I, you know, my mouth starts to get dry, you know, I can hear myself start to make more mouth noises. And so I take a sip of tea or water, and that helps a lot.
I'm curious that when you listen back to your own content and maybe some of the other things where people will say, wow, that was just so amazing. I absolutely loved it. The quality is just out of this world. Where at the same time, you listen to your own product that you've put out there and you do you ever feel like, wow, I don't know. It seems to me like on a scale of 1 to 10, I hit about a 7, but to you, it sounded like a 10. Do you ever feel that way?
That happens all the time. Yeah, that's a huge battle that I fight, and I think is common for not everyone, but a lot of creative people. You know, you want to give your best effort, and sort of what you can imagine your output could be often isn't met by the actual result. But what I found is you have to, you know, it's a balance between, because if you're overly critical, you'll never release anything. So especially if I'm working under a deadline, I just have to, you know, go ahead, accept that it's good enough, and just put it out anyway, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to get anything out.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, let me just say, you've probably been to many conferences before. Is this your first NMX conference that you've come to?
Yes, it is. I'm really looking forward to it.
Can you tell me one thing, just judging by maybe what you may have looked into online or anything like that, what's one thing that really excites you about the fact that you're going to come out to this event?
I think the best thing is going to be meeting and hanging out with other podcasters. I mean, I've just been blown away at the podcasting community and how just incredibly welcoming they are. And I haven't had the opportunity to, you know, meet people face to face. And I'm really, really looking forward to that.
You know what, Renee, when you meet them face to face, it's going to turn out that they are the best friends that you've had. It's going to feel like you've had these best friends forever, and you're finally meeting them face to face, but you've known them because you've heard them. You've probably, you know, done some of their characters, and you've listened to their lives. And it's amazing to finally meet these people, and they are instantly your brothers and sisters and friends. And it's really a wonderful community.
And they'll be the first people you run into who really, truly understands just how much work goes into that production.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm really excited about it all. So thank you guys so much for doing this. I think it's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Renee, for putting that together. And I am looking here at the schedule. I had it in front of me just a second ago, and it looks like it is on Tuesday, January 8th at 11:45 is where it's currently scheduled in our program. And so it's The Tone and Emotion, The Keys to Compelling Podcast Fiction Narration. Renee Chambliss, thank you so much for coming on. And I look forward to getting the opportunity to meet you face to face in January. And believe it or not, just a few weeks.
It's coming up. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it too. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Well, Megan, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. And of course, it sounds to me like we're going to have even more great news to share next week with Rick, maybe giving us a little bit more details about those things we weren't allowed to talk about in this episode.
Exactly. Yes, I'm dying to hear. I want to find out. You guys are keeping secrets from me again.
Well,
of course, I can't keep secrets, so that's why people don't share secrets with me.
There you go.
Because I blab.
Anyway, folks, we want to say, if you haven't signed up already, go to newmediaexpo.com or nmxlive.com. All of those places will take you there. Get signed up today. I'll tell you what, I have, you know what, this is my show. I can do this. Promo code GSPN20 will give you 20% off. How about that?
But if you are a finalist for the podcast awards, you can get 50% off. So check our blog for that. And if you were nominated by even one person, you are on the nominees list. There's 5,000 podcasts on that list. You can get 30% off.
There you go.
So check our blog for that.
And then, we're out of music, but we're just going to end with this. Where can they find us on Facebook, and where can they find you on Twitter?
Facebook/New Media Expo. And on Twitter, I am @NMX Podcast.
We'll see you next week.